Let's go to Micah chapter 4. Just keep flipping forward and you'll get into the minor, they call them minor prophets. There's nothing minor about them, they're just smaller books. I can never find Micah. Micah named him Habakkuk. What comes before Micah? Hosea? Amos.
Amos.
Micah. And then Micah named him Habakkuk. I always remembered that. Amos. Wait a minute. Did I miss it? You said it was after what? Oh, it's after.
After
Jonah.
Obadiah
Jonah. Okay. Okay. So let's read. Let's just start at the beginning of. Wait a minute. Let me look at. So let's just start at the beginning here of chapter 4.
Chapter 4?
Of Micah, yeah.
Oh.
Says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, and this is what you're talking about, Audrey, many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. Then shall that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So again, it seems that that change is coming throughout the earth. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord's host has spoken. So that's kind of an interesting thing too. We know that Israel, they were given, remember when they were entering into the promised land and the tribes were given land according to their tribe and allotments given to each individual family within those tribes. And it seems that that whole thing's going to be restored, but it seems like that's restored for everyone on the earth too. It's like, you know, everyone is, you're living in peace and you have this, it seems like they're going to have a plot of land where they can be provided for from that and be able to have provision for one another. Wouldn't that be cool? Kind of a perfect agrarian environment. I mean, you know, that there'd be something to that, wouldn't there? Where you just benefit each other, you work together and everybody's working together and benefiting everyone. Certainly, again, as Audrey was pointing out when she was asking that question, there is from Jerusalem as the center of all this. You know, everything's going out from there. The law of God goes out from there, and it's the center of all the worship as the nations come in. And when we look at that, probably a couple weeks or a week or so, we'll be looking at the worship of the nations as they come in and the type of worship that happens in the millennium. So again, peace is reigning. Let's look at one more. Let's flip forward again. Go to Zechariah. And we'll close with this today. Zechariah chapter 9. And let's start in. And again, like if you guys want to, like I said, go back and read these too and, you know, read the whole context and a lot of them have more about the millennium. We're just dealing with the issues of peace here primarily. Wait a minute. Am I looking in the wrong place?
No.
Oh, no. Zechariah chapter 9, let's start in verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt of a foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from rivers to the ends of the rivers. Now, isn't that interesting? This is one of those real interesting prophetic verses because verse 9 speaks of what? When did that happen? The king came already, didn't he? And he came in, how did he enter in as the king into Jerusalem? Okay, having salvation, lowly, riding on a donkey and a colt of a foal of a donkey. So prophetically, that aspect has already happened. And he was presented as king and came literally as the king and the nation. If they received him, the kingdom would be established, wouldn't it? Okay? And yet we see there that then obviously between verses 9 and 10, there's a big gap, isn't there? And you'll see those places where, you know, it doesn't say there's this many years between there, but there's something that's taken place, because we know he came in that way, bringing salvation, lowly riding on a donkey. He comes as king, and then it says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the river. So there's a big change there, isn't there? Because we don't see him having right now speaking peace to all the nations. We don't see him having dominion from sea to sea and from river's end to the ends of the earth. We don't see that dominion on the earth right now, do we? So obviously there's a big gap of time from the time he first came and was rejected by Jerusalem. Salvation, because of that rejection, has come to who? Look at us. We're sitting here. It's come to the Gentiles in this age. The church is being brought into, you know, that relationship with Christ. We're being brought into the church, brought into a relationship with Christ. But that dominion of his hasn't yet been established on the earth. But what we've read today is it will be, and it's going to be a kingdom of peace. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Let's close with that. Father, we thank you for your word and the truth, your word, and just the rejoicing that we can have over these things as we read about what you're going to do and get a better grasp of your age-long plan as it unfolds, Lord. And the awesome thing is these things will, as it says, come about in the earth. We don't have to doubt it. We don't have to question it. You're going to fulfill all these promises in a future day, Lord. We don't know when that day is going to start, but Lord, we know it's as sure if it started just today, Lord. We know that it will take place because your word is sure. You are the God of truth. There is no shadow of turning in you. And so, Father, we just thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I get a couple guys to pass the communion stuff out, and we will partake in communion together.